You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. The first recording of humpback whales singing in the 1960s made it clear there's a lot of chatting going on among marine mammals. Well, lots of research since then has come out showing that noise from ships can interrupt those conversations. A little less known is the fact that fish are talking down there as well, and not surprisingly, ship noise bothers them as well. Jenny Stanley is a marine ecology and acoustics researcher at NOAA's Northeast Fisheries Science Center in Woods Hole. She recently published on this topic in the journal Nature Scientific Reports. Welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me here.
How long have we known that fish like cod and haddock are actually essentially talking to each other, and what are they talking about?
So it's actually been well established for a long time that fish can communicate acoustically. They are similar to us. Some species chat about all sorts of their daily behavior.
I want to be like the what's the marine equivalent of a fly on the wall down there listening to like, man, how was your day? Well, I just missed that hook. Like,
yeah, well, that's me, really. I listen to all sorts of conversations. We put out remote recorders that just record anything that's happening at that location at specific times.
So let's actually take a listen to what some of this sounds like, because then I want to know how you make any sense of what it is that they might be talking about. Let's listen to the haddock first. They're one of the easier ones to at least hear them. So that knocking sound, I mean, it sounds like they're just like knocking on the door, kind of.
That's
haddock. And do we have any sense of I mean, how would you get any sense even of what it is that they're communicating with that knocking sound?
I mean, obviously we don't exactly know what they're trying to communicate when knocking to each other. However, we can get a broad idea of when they're calling, what specific times in their, you know, life cycle or phases of their year are they knocking or communicating more or less. And in the instance of haddock, they're advertising. They're saying, hello, come and look at me. I'm ready to spawn. And I've heard male haddock go for up to about 2 hours with no response. So they're definitely willing to advertise.
They are determined.
They are determined.
How loud is that? I mean, like if you were, you know, scuba diving, would you be able to hear that? And how far would that kind of signal carry?
That's a tricky question. It depends how close you are to the fish itself. And depending on the fish, you'll also get a different absolute intensity of their call. How far the call propagates or radiates out from that fish will also be determined by the ambient background sound. So if you have something like vessels in the area at the same time as fish calling, these frequencies that match the exact same kind of frequency bands. So a vessel, although more broadband than fish sounds, it can completely kind of cover up any fish sounds that are happening in vicinity of that signal.
So we've actually got the sound of ship noise as heard underwater. Let's take a listen to that. I mean, it sounds kind of like the background noise, just extra loud.
Yeah, and if you listen to it in kind of a relevant sense, comparative to those haddock noises, you would not. That covers everything.
It's so overwhelmingly loud.
It's completely overwhelming.
I mean, I've actually, you know, been underwater scuba diving when even just a small boat passes, not necessarily that nearby, and it sounds like there's an engine next to your ear.
Yeah, and with us, we can't differentiate direction. We don't have directional hearing underwater. However, fish do.
Does that make it better or worse for them?
Well, it's thought that this actually could be something called a masking release. If you have a signal of non-interest, so if, say, a ship, if that is taking over the same frequency range at the same time as a fish vocalization, there's these kind of adaptations or masking release abilities that fish can have. So when I talk about directional hearing underwater, if a conspecific call is coming from one direction and a vessel's coming from the other, the fish may have the ability to actually distinguish the directionality of those two sounds and may, if it's not, you know, right next to the fish itself, may be able to actually determine through the particle velocity field the difference between the two signals.
This sounds like a skill that I need in my kitchen when three people are talking to me at once, to be able to hear like one conversation in one ear and another conversation in the other ear and actually tell the difference and
be
hold
able to
them
filter
separate.
The two
right.
Out. Yeah, yeah, exactly. We don't really know categorically how much this helps them. It's a very difficult thing to you know, you can't ask a fish, well, let's play this sound and let's play this sound and can you distinguish them? But there are a whole lot of behavioural experiments that we can run to see if these masking releases are occurring.
I'm talking with Jenny Stanley. She's a marine ecology and acoustics researcher at NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, about her research on fish communication and the impact that ship noise has on that communication. All right, so we heard the haddock and that knock, knock, knocking sound that they make. Let's listen to cod now, because this is an even more subtle kind of sound that they're making. I mean, it sounds like a little toad
grunt.
A little grunt, right? That they're making. I mean, that's got to be so easy to just completely overwhelm. It's hard to even just hear it on that recording.
Exactly. It doesn't span the same frequencies that the haddock does. It's a lot narrower band, and it's short. And as you heard haddock, they were a series of knocks, and there's a structure to it. It normally goes on for a long period of time, but the grunts made by cod are a lot simpler, I guess. And so for me, I worry about with the increase of vessel noise, it doesn't sound like there's much redundancy in the cod vocalization, does there, compared to haddock, where it could be a series of repeating the same signal over and over
again.
Right,
so if you've missed the cod message, you've missed the cod message. It's not coming again.
We don't know. You know, they just seem to vocalize a lot less than haddock during those times.
And what are the cod communicating? If haddock are advertising for mates, what are the cod trying to communicate?
Cod are also advertising for mates. They are advertising that their readiness for spawning. They're also advertising their quality, their like how good a mate they could potentially be. But it also could be picking up other individuals as they migrate towards a spawning location, which is it's a very small location that they return to year after year.
You were monitoring communication and sound levels in a few different locations, some of which are inside Stellwagen Bank National Marine Sanctuary, and then some kind of outside. Do you see differences in ship noise in those areas? Are there quieter parts of the ocean, or could we create quieter parts of the ocean that might not interfere with fish communication as much?
Very much so. So the sites that we chose in Stellwagen Bank National Marine Sanctuary were two sites related to cod winter spawning habitat and haddock winter spawning habitat. And these are actually relatively close to the main Boston shipping lanes. So as you can imagine, these get some of the highest intensities of that vessel noise moving past them regularly, very regularly. The spring cod, Atlantic cod spawning site is actually in Massachusetts Bay. It's further inland. And that, on average, was quieter during those very important times. However, there's also other noises that can be occurring in those inshore sites. Like you get a lot more recreational vessels and things like that. And we were picking up different frequency of sound. So we were getting smaller vessels, which was raising the frequency of the noise we were getting. And water's a very good medium for sound to travel. And so low frequencies especially travel very vast distances with little attenuation. So a vessel quite a distance from the site can be heard for miles around.
Do we know how much this noise problem has increased?
Yeah, that's a really good question and something that is quite controversial, I guess. In the last 50 years, you understand that growing trade fleets have contributed to it. Almost 32-fold increase in noise in some parts.
32-fold, not a 32%. 32 times.
32 times.
More shipping or more noise.
More noise in some parts of the ocean. So
wow.
Certain parts of the ocean are increasing tremendously where others are staying. But another problem is we don't really understand baselines either. So we weren't recording underwater 100 years ago. Well, not everywhere. And so it's really hard to understand in certain parts how much of an increase we've had.
That doesn't sound like good news, given how much ship traffic there is in the ocean. It sounds like there's probably quieter areas, but it's going to be hard to find something we might really consider quiet. And if this is interrupting potentially the ability of fish to find mates, I mean, if we talk about cod populations in New England, completely beleaguered, the fishery just saw a little bit of an increase in quotas, but almost closed down for the past couple of years, at least in the Gulf of Maine. Some combination of overfishing, climate change. Where do you put this noise issue in that whole pantheon of problems?
I'm not sure that's something we can really answer. Unfortunately, it's just another stressor in this very stressful life of some of these species. Chronic noise has been something that has shown to be stressful for many species. And if you've just got this constant chronic noise, then it's going to change certain aspects of your lifestyle. And especially if you're not communicating readily with your dwindling population, it's harder to get the everyday things done that you need to.
That's Jenny Stanley. She's a marine ecology and acoustics researcher at NOAA's Northeast Fisheries Science Center in Woods Hole. Thanks so much, Jenny.
Thank you very much.
Up next, the state of offshore wind energy research in New England. That's when Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.